This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another Kavanaugh accuser. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, September 24th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A second woman has come forward to accuse Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct. Meanwhile, a public hearing is set for his first accuser.
Washington and Beijing today both hit each other with a new round of tariffs. Here are the items that could soon cost more.
The United Nations General Assembly meets this week in New York. As part of that, President Trump is expected to meet today with South Korea's president.
And the huge jump in the number of teenagers who are vaping this year, up 75%.
That's about 3 million high school students, about 20% of high school students in the country. To put that in context, you know, last year it was 11.7% or 1.73 million high school students. So quite a change.
Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay has new stats on teen use of e-cigarettes. A public hearing is scheduled for Thursday over the initial sexual assault allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh by Christine Blasey Ford. Her lawyers yesterday said she would appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee to answer questions about her allegations that the Supreme Court nominee pinned her to a bed, groped her, and tried to remove her clothing when they were teenagers. Judge Kavanaugh has denied the allegation. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday.
I would advise the president to let us handle this. It is very true that a lot of women get abused and take it to their grave. And every now and then you have a situation where people provide inaccurate information.
The Wall Street Journal says Democrats indicated they plan to press the 53-year-old Mr. Kavanaugh on his teenage drinking habits. Dr. Ford, now a 51-year-old college professor in California, has said she believes he was drunk when the alleged incident occurred at a party when she was 15 and he was 17. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Republicans stressed that three people at the party in question said they don't recall it. Meanwhile, a new allegation of sexual misconduct has surfaced against Judge Kavanaugh. The New Yorker magazine says the claim dates to the 1983-84 academic school year, when Judge Kavanaugh was a freshman at Yale University. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
53-year-old Deborah Ramirez attended Yale with Mr. Kavanaugh. The New Yorker says she was at first hesitant to speak out, partly because her memories contained gaps because she had been drinking at the time. After consulting with a lawyer, she now says Mr. Kavanaugh had exposed himself at a drunken dorm party, causing her to touch his genitals without her consent. In a statement, Judge Kavanaugh said, "This alleged event did not happen. This is smear, plain and simple. I look forward to testifying on Thursday about the truth." Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The New Yorker, by the way, says it has not confirmed with other eyewitnesses that Mr. Kavanaugh was present at the party. It contacted several dozen classmates of both Ms. Ramirez and Mr. Kavanaugh regarding the incident. Many did not respond to interview requests. Others declined to comment or said they did not attend or remember the party. The United States and China today imposed fresh tariffs on each other's goods as part of a trade dispute, but Beijing also said it was willing to restart trade negotiations with the United States, according to the state-run news agency. The U.S. tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods and retaliatory tariffs by Beijing on $60 billion worth of U.S. products were not as high as earlier feared. The U.S. will levy tariffs of 10% initially, rising to 25% at the end of this year. Beijing has imposed rates of 5 to 10% and warned it would respond to any rise in U.S. tariffs accordingly. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, meanwhile, was on CBS's Face the Nation.
China has had their way with trade for with the United States for a long time. Now we're just making sure that we're playing back. We're not going to be taken advantage of. President Trump has a great relationship with President Xi, but he's not going to do it at the expense of the American people.
At the store for us, the new duties could mean higher prices for Chinese products ranging from vacuum cleaners to home routers. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us. As we said earlier, more Trump tariffs are on the way. Yahoo Finance is keeping score. President Trump will now impose 10% tariffs on an additional $200 billion worth of Chinese imports as of today, more or less as he threatened to do. Here's Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, what's on the scorecard?
Well, I don't expect anybody to really be following in detail. Where do we stand with the tariffs? You just keep hearing we've had some, we're going to get more, there are more, and there could be more still. So what's going on here? So here's where we stand. President Trump so far has imposed new tariffs this year on about $307 billion worth of imports to the United States. That includes washing machines. Those tariffs went into effect early in the year. Solar panels, steel and aluminum tariffs went into effect in March. And the big one is the Chinese imports. So there are now tariffs on $250 billion or so of Chinese imports. Total Chinese imports to the United States are around $500 billion. So about half of all Chinese imports to the United States are now subject to these new tariffs.
Okay, so I think a lot of people want to know, and maybe it's the $64,000 question in tariff-related terms, but what happens next? Where's this going?
I don't know. I don't know where it's going. So as part of the scorecard, it's worth pointing out that trading partners, mostly China, but also Europe, Canada, Mexico, and even Turkey, have placed retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports going into their countries. And we're hearing, you know, we've heard about this with regard, for example, to Harley-Davidson motorcycles built in the United States, now subject to a 25% tariff if they go to Europe. So Harley has said, well, we're going to need move that production to someplace outside the United States that won't be subject to the tariff. Markets have been surprisingly calm about all of this. I mean, we've been seeing the stock markets hit new highs. So I guess the collective judgment of investors is that these tariffs are not really going to destabilize the economy in any way at the level that they are at now. And maybe investors think this is all going to get resolved and these tariffs are just temporary. But that depends on President Trump and that depends on China. And it's quite possible we could see some, you know, disturbing developments here, in which case this would all get worse.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Is all of this, and the tariffs involving all the different partners, is this all about changing the balance with China?
You have to ask President Trump that question. I mean, he is single-handedly driving this trade war. And we know that one thing he wants is just a lower U.S. trade deficit with most of the world, but particularly with regard to China. That trade deficit is around $375 billion. That's the difference between what they sell to us and we sell to them. He has said he wants that number lower. Now, that is not really China's job to, you know, worry about the U.S. trade deficit. Yeah. I mean, China couldn't even, you know, change that if it wanted to. Many people have asked, what is Trump really asking China? What are the specifics of his ask? I actually asked Kevin Hassett, who's the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, one of the top White House economists, this on a Yahoo Finance program recently. And he said, the Chinese know exactly what we want, but he won't identify what those asks are publicly. So it's like there's kind of a secret list, you know, of U.S. demands for China, reforms that President Trump wants, and we don't know exactly what those are.
We can squeeze them more than they can squeeze us, though, right? Because we just import so much more from them.
Yes, that's true. And the U.S. economy is still bigger, and it is a much more developed economy. a more diverse economy, and it's a healthier economy because it doesn't rely on government support, government lending, and things like that, the way that the Chinese economy does rely on that. We've actually seen that in the stock market. The Shanghai Stock Index is down around 20% this year. It's performing poorly, whereas U.S. stocks keep hitting new records. But there's a big but to this, and the big but is President Xi Jinping of China does not have to answer to electoral politics the way President Trump does.
Because he's a president for life. Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Within a second allegation of sexual misconduct has emerged against Judge Brett Kavanaugh, a development that has further imperiled his nomination to the Supreme Court. The new accusation was detailed in a report from The New Yorker just a few hours after negotiators had reached an agreement to hold a public hearing Thursday for Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, who accuses him of sexually assaulting her at a party when they were teenagers. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham appeared on Fox.
When I voted for Sotomayor and Kagan, I wasn't just a white male Republican. I was some kind of really smart, wonderful person. I know what the game is here.
Kavanaugh denies the claim. Bill Cosby faces the start of a sentencing hearing today at which a judge will decide how to punish the 81-year-old comedian for preying on at least one woman and perhaps many more. Cosby could go to prison, perhaps for the rest of his days, after being convicted in April of drugging and sexually assaulting a former Temple University employee at his home in 2004. Cosby accuser Shalon Lasha says he deserves every year of his potential 30-year sentence.
I think he needs to pay for what he's done to everyone. I have nightmares about it this very day, and I want them to go away, just like him.
Once called America's dad, Cosby's reputation has been in decline since assault allegations against him came to light in 2014. Rivers swelling with the floodwaters of Hurricane Florence are threatening to swamp communities near the South Carolina coast. More than a week after Florence crashed into the Carolinas, dumping heavy rains, all that water is nearing the coast. Authorities in Georgetown County say they have put as many as 8,000 people on alert for possible evacuation starting today. He may be 42, but he's not done quite yet. Tiger Woods was moved to the brink of tears after capturing his first title since 2013 with a two-stroke triumph at the Tour Championship in Atlanta yesterday.
I was pretty emotional when Rory was tapping out. He was finishing out. I looked around and the tournament was over.
Woods reasserted his status as the best front runner in the history of the sport, leading throughout the final round and finishing at 11 under par, 269.
It's pretty remarkable.
Now all that back surgery.
Right.
Whoever thought he could come back.
Right. Great. I think he still has his eye on a major, though. Huh? And no doubt about that. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. After seven rental scooters were abandoned at the Pentagon following this year's 9/11 remembrances, police say they'll begin impounding the unauthorized rides, and they're going to impound bikes, too. How do people just abandon these things? It's a story by Kevin Barron, executive editor at Defense One. Kevin, what's up here?
Well, you know, these electric scooters that are taking over America's cities all over the place, and some people love them, and a lot of people really hate them. And it just happened that the morning after the September 11th remembrances this year, I was walking through the Pentagon and got word that the Pentagon police had gathered up a few of them outside, and I decided to check and see what's the deal. And turns out, yep, in the last few weeks, Pentagon police say this has been a problem. People are abandoning them. You know, these are dockless scooters. You download an app, you find one on your phone, you walk to it, you get a code, you hit the button, and off you go. When you're done, you can leave it anywhere you want. And so the Pentagon made sure to put out a word that these are unauthorized, they're not welcome, don't bring them to the building.
Wow. So there's no, obviously, payment penalty of some kind for just leaving them anywhere.
No, the next thing they said they would do. So for this offense, these were seven scooters that they found near one of the main entrances, kind of just leaned up against some of the Jersey barriers. And the Pentagon called the company. These were Bird scooters. The two main companies are Bird and Lime. They were Bird scooters. They told the company, come get them. And then within that day, the company sent somebody to gather them up. The Pentagon has now said any further ones that are left, they would just be impounded.
Wow.
So which would be a financial penalty to the company to, you know, get them out of hock.
Sure. But this is how these things work, though, right? I mean, you leave them, and then do you indicate on the app where it is, and then the company goes and gets it, or them if there are more than one?
Yeah, no, they could. They're anywhere. So the company does pay people. You could sign up to be, you know, some people call them juicers. You literally, you can go around gathering some of these things. You bring them home. The company has sent you like a little charger box, and you charge them up and put them back out, and you get a little bit of money for each one you do those.
Wow.
It's a real, you know, this is a real grassroots egalitarian kind of, you know, fad that's out there. They're you know, they're fun in big cities. There's a lot of young adults, a lot of people that don't have cars. And Washington, people use them, you know, to go from a lot of the work areas, which are downhill, back to the residential areas, which are uphill. So they get on these motorized scooters and off they go.
Wow. We're speaking with Kevin Barron. He's executive editor of Defense One. Has an interesting story entitled, Pentagon Declares War on Scooters. How do these things operate? There's not the Vespas, as you point out, right? You stand on these things, got a little motor on them.
That's right. So yeah, these aren't the classic Vespas everyone loves. You can bring that to the Pentagon if you have a Pentagon parking pass, and they're not the ones inside of shopping centers or inside the Pentagon for, you know, folks who need help getting around and new mobility help. These are just like the toys you grew up with, except they're motorized. And some of these things can haul, and people are getting hurt on them. There are a lot of reports of accidents. A colleague of ours in our own office building went end over end and broke a rib.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Barron, executive editor at Defense One. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, September 24. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Public hearing Thursday for the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. Another woman accuses him of sexual misconduct. Two-day sentencing hearing begins today for Bill Cosby, convicted in April of drugging and molesting a woman. In sports, as you heard Jennifer say, Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship in Atlanta, first win in 5 years. The 49ers fear quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo has a torn ACL. And the French fry crisis developing in Europe. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. During Dell's annual sale, Dell Small Business is offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Teen use of e-cigarettes has soared this year. The Wall Street Journal has seen new research that shows the number of high school students who used e-cigarettes has risen roughly 75%. Since last year. Here's senior writer Betsy McKay at the Wall Street Journal. She covers global health. Betsy, give us some numbers.
That's about 3 million high school students, about 20% of high school students in the country. To put that in context, you know, last year it was 11.7% or 1.73 million high school students. So quite a change. And then the second thing is that we, Wall Street Journal, commissioned our own survey of 13 to 18-year-olds, so it includes some middle school students, we found that about a third of them currently vape. So the numbers were quite similar, and it was it's a pretty big jump in 2018.
Yeah. My kids are 14 and 17. I know they've seen it at parties and stuff. What's the appeal to or for e-cigarettes and or vaping?
So what's changed in the last year and a half, a couple of years, is that there's a new technology with e-cigarettes. The most popular product is called the Juul, and you've probably heard this name if you have teenagers. This word if you have teenagers. It's a very small device. It's discreet and pretty potent, and it's the pods that come with it come in flavors that teens like. So what they really like is that they can use this thing that looks like a USB stick. They can vape in it. They get flavors. And there's not much of a vapor that it puts out. so that they can do this in class, in the school bathroom, you know, on the school grounds, at parties, and people don't know about it. And it has just, Jewel and kind of Jewel knockoffs have really taken off among teens in the last year.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay. She's a senior writer covering global health. She's looked at some new data about youth vaping and how it has soared this year. And they don't smell up your clothes, right? Like traditional cigarettes or cigars, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't smell up your clothes. It does have, and it doesn't have, you know, the toxins that burning tobacco produces. It does have, these products do have nicotine, and so they're pretty addictive. And, you know, public health experts and doctors worry about the effects of nicotine on developing brains.
So I know there's less concern about health risks, I guess, than traditional cigarettes, but is the government trying to do something here to stamp this out?
Yeah, the Food and Drug Administration is getting more active on this. They sent some warning letters and, you know, issued some warnings in the spring about targeting young people. You know, e-cigarette companies targeting young people with products that, with their packaging and their flavors, clearly seem to be aimed at them. I mean, there are some that come in flavors like bubble gum, and they come in this packaging that makes them look like candy. They sometimes have the word candy in their name. So the FDA has cracked down on them. And then, you know, just last week, the FDA said it is looking into they're considering banning flavored products, which would be a huge step. So so they are trying to take some steps here. You know, some parents say, look, you've got to move quicker. I mean, this thing is just spreading. Even the FDA commissioner himself, Scott Gottlieb, said that teen youth has reached an epidemic proportion.
Anybody suggesting that, hey, better this than traditional cigarettes? Maybe it's, I don't know, preventing addiction to nicotine?
Well, nobody's saying it prevents addiction to nicotine, because these products have, like, a Juul pod has the same amount of nicotine as a pack of cigarettes.
Okay.
So these are as addictive. What they don't have, as I mentioned, are the toxins that you get from burning. You know, there's carcinogens in when you burn tobacco, and so they don't have those. And that is the argument for e-cigarettes. It's less of an argument when it comes to teenagers, because not that many teenagers are smoking.
Thanks, Betsy. Betsy McKay, senior writer at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're planning on visiting Maine this fall, you might not be able to ask for your lobster smoked. Maine officials are not down with getting lobsters baked before boiling them alive and have declared the practice illegal. Charlotte Gill, owner of Charlotte's Legendary Lobster Pound, made headlines recently for her unusual cooking methods. She said she's been experimenting with getting the lobsters high off of marijuana want to smoke before cooking them, believing it to be more humane than the traditional methods. She said she feels bad when the lobsters come in and, quote, there is no exit strategy. However, according to the New York Times, Maine health inspectors said the food served to consumers at licensed eating places and affected by marijuana, as has been described with this establishment, is adulterated and therefore illegal.
Oh.
Gill said Friday she hopes to resume sales by mid-October with a few minor adjustments to address the state's concerns.
Wow.
She's apparently some sort of licensed practitioner in when it comes to marijuana, like a marijuana caregiver.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
So she has a license to do things with marijuana. You know, I guess perhaps not to lobsters, at least not yet.
Interesting.
I guess she's working on that.
And by the way, if you are a consumer,
yeah,
and you eat this lobster,
right,
you do not get high.
That's what she's saying. She's saying, look, we boil them anyway. This is not like an edible type of situation, that we're selling one of those. So,
right.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. So she's saying it shouldn't be a big deal.
Important clarification there.
Right, exactly. And if you're both brave and not claustrophobic, one amusement park has a contest for you. The Six Flags Park in Eureka, Missouri is holding a competition inviting guests to stay in a tight car coffin for nearly 30 hours straight. The Fright Fest 30-hour coffin challenge will take place on Saturday, October 13th, and reward those who make it through the night with more than just bragging rights. The prizes include two 2019 season passes, a Fright Fest prize package, two VIP haunted house passes, and more. The winner will also be entered in a drawing for a $300 prize. For their part, Six Flags will provide six deluxe 2-foot by 7-foot slightly used coffins, as well as meals, snacks, and drinks in bed, as well as a 6-minute bathroom break every hour. The coffin's also available to take home if the winner desires. The competitors are allowed to bring a friend during the operating hours, but once the park closes, coffin dwellers must go it alone.
Come on.
What?
Come 30 on, hours what? Straight, you got snacks and a 6-minute bathroom break every hour?
Yeah, this almost sounds
what
like...
What kind of challenge is that?
This sounds pretty great. This sounds like something I might That's sign right. up for. To be able to get away from it all, right? Have nobody bother you for 30 hours, right. be able to get up for 6 minutes, an hour, get right. all the snacks and
yeah,
drinks that I want.
Check your phone? Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, this does not sound like a challenge at all. This sounds like something I'd like to do every weekend.
Right. You want to like up the challenge a little bit. Put it in a cemetery.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
And then you're on your own.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. 6-minute bathroom break an hour. Maybe that's why the prize is so weak.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guess
$300 in a couple of
I have a feeling they're going to be inundated with people who want this challenge. Probably, a lot of, moms, stressed out moms and dads who will be, happy to take this challenge that they're putting up.
Although,
there.
To be fair, it's 2-foot by 7.
Yeah. It's a little skinny.
So that's a little tight, like on your face if you're lying down on your back.
I suppose
right?
so.
Yeah, 2 feet, it's not a lot of wiggle room. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, during the Dell annual sale, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
Thanks for being with us. Heads up from MarketWatch. The airline miles you've racked up over the years can disappear with the click of a mouse. There's a growing black market for frequent flyer accounts on the dark web. The technology comparison site Comparatech says half a dozen online marketplaces host listings made by criminals to resell miles that they steal from frequent flyer accounts through hacking and data breaches. Paul Bischoff, who's the editor at Comparatech, says the theft is especially appealing to scammers because it's hard to detect, similar to credit card fraud, in that the victim is unlikely to notice until they check their account, or the thief triggers the fraud prevention system. He says since most of us don't check our frequent flyer accounts on a regular basis, the theft can go unnoticed for months or years. The stolen miles can't be used for travel directly because booking a flight usually requires ID that matches that of the passenger, but thieves can sell the points for cash or gift cards with online services. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the university professor who accused Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, of sexual assault, will testify before a Senate panel on Thursday about her allegation. The agreement for Christine Blasey Ford to testify came just hours before The New Yorker magazine published an article in which a second woman described another instance of alleged sexual misconduct by Kavanaugh, also in the 1980s when both attended Yale University. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin told ABC he's impressed by Ford's willingness to come forward.
It really speaks to her credibility at this moment. What in the hell did she have to gain by doing this? At this point, she's faced death threats. Her family has been moved out of their home. They're worried about the safety of their children. They're concerned about security at the hearing.
Kavanaugh has also agreed to testify at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. China raised tariffs today on thousands of U.S. goods in an escalation of its fight with President Trump over technology policy and accused Washington of bullying Beijing. China today started collecting additional taxes of 5 and 10% on $60 billion of goods. National Security Advisor John Bolton spoke to Fox.
I think the president correctly understands when China gets economic power by stealing from the United States and others, it's time to call a stop to it.
The new round of tariffs the U.S. placed on Chinese goods could hit new parents where it hurts, with cribs, bassinets, diaper bags, and other infant products all on the list. Those ripe bananas donated to a Texas prison weren't exactly what they appeared to be. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice says nearly $18 million worth of cocaine was hidden inside the banana boxes. Sergeants who picked up the boxes found 540 packages of cocaine. Authorities have not released where the shipment came from or who the intended recipient was. Great news if you're a Scrabble fan. 300 new acceptable words are coming your way, including some long-awaited gems such as okay and ooh. Merriam-Webster released the sixth edition of the official Scrabble Players Dictionary today, 4 years after the last release. Hasbro left out other possibilities under consideration, including RBI, since it has morphed into an actual word pronounced ribby.
No, oh, brother. Okay, by the way, I just looked it up on dictionary.com.
Okay.
I didn't realize, like, all the uses. Like, adjective, adverb, interjection, noun, and verb.
That's a very useful word.
Right? That's impressive.
Who knew?
And worldwide.
Yes, acceptance. Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. After a brutally hot, dry summer that caused a potato shortage in Belgium, France, and the UK, French fries in parts of Europe could wind up being an inch shorter. With crop yields down by 25% from normal, the Washington Post reports that one potato growers association predicts that much of Europe will eat smaller fries. In Europe, the drought means prices are up and the spuds themselves are smaller. So how much shrinkage could they suffer? The Post says in Belgium, a region hit especially hard, fries could shrink an average of about 3 centimeters from the roughly 3-inch length the potato spears are usually. France and Britain are expected to suffer shorter fries as well, though Belgium, where mayonnaise is the preferred condiment to ketchup, is predicted to be hit hardest. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.